What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Fit for Life with Julie podcast. I am so excited for today's one because Sarah is back in New Zealand and we are going to cover your build and so much more. So let's start off with how your build is going.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the podcast again. I have been building for probably just over a year now. So I competed 3 times last year, came out of my show in October, won my pro card, and then just really wanted to focus on a big long build to, you know, build up my shape through my legs and my glutes, which was my feedback, to ensure that I am competitive when I step on stage for, you know, in a pro lineup. So yeah, we reverse dieted for probably about 10 weeks, went straight back up to maintenance calories and then continued increasing calories. I think I had just finished reversing last time I talked to you on the podcast, so yes. I won't touch too much on that, but yeah, now I'm eating over 3,000 calories a day on training days, training 4 days a week, and just really focusing on recovery as well.
Wow, training 4 days a week, you said.
4 days a week.
An interesting change from, you know, when you were shredding, how many days would it be, 5 or 6?
It was 5 days weight training plus cardio. I think I was doing 4 days a week. So it's quite a reduction in output, and obviously steps have really reduced as well.
Yeah. So when you're doing 4 days, is it like 2 lower predominantly, 2 upper, or is it a bit of a mix?
Now I'm doing 3 lower, 1 upper. Before, when I was doing 5 days a week, which was pretty much the whole build up until the last 4 weeks, I was doing 4 lower and 1 upper. So we're just kind of maintaining my upper body for symmetry and really building my glutes.
Oh, I know completely how hard it is to do legs 4 times a week. I did that on prep, and by the end of it, I was so done with training legs. Yeah. I was just completely off it. But I imagine it's a lot different when you're fueling your body and you're actually on build calories. How do you find the recovery for that?
So much better on higher calories. Like, you know what it's like when you're in prep, you're getting towards the end, you just have no energy in your muscles, like when you're pushing in the gym. So it's so nice to actually be well fueled for my sessions and have those carbs before I train, and just have a lot more energy. And then post workout as well, really optimizing nutrition, so getting 1 gram of carbs per kilo of body weight at least, plus my protein, like 20 to 30 grams post workout, has really helped with that recovery for sure.
Yeah, and then you're quite big on the recovery protocols too. So what other things are you doing to make sure that you're optimizing your recovery?
Yeah, so the usuals, like 7 to 8 hours sleep. I think that's a massive thing that's really helped this build. I didn't really focus on it in previous builds. I focused on it in prep, but not as much while I was building. And it is so important because that's when you're actually growing your muscle and repairing. And then, you know, the usuals like foam rolling, stretching. I went to physio really consistently to work out any niggles, go through form for every exercise and just make sure like mechanically everything was moving right, getting dry needling, releasing any tight bits.
So important.
Yeah. I was getting so many infrared saunas that I actually ended up buying one.
That's so cool.
Which is on the way over to New Zealand. And yeah, just doing as much as I can really to let my body unwind, because I am such like a busy body. I like doing things all the time. So actually like scheduling time aside to sit down and just let my parasympathetic nervous system kick in and just like relax and kind of let myself repair.
Yeah, it's so important. And it's also hard, like even taking a step back from 5 sessions to 4 sessions a week. Mm-hmm. I'd find that quite hard to do because I love going to the gym. So yes, it's like you've got that extra day of not being in the gym. It's like, what do I do with my life now?
Yeah.
But it is really good to hear how you recover. So along with that, are there any particular supplements you like to take? I often get asked about creatine. I'm pretty sure you take creatine as well. I definitely do every day.
Every single day. That's one that's important to take every day when you start taking it, just to keep your levels up. But yeah, I've taken creatine for a few years now, and I think it definitely does help with recovery a little bit because it, you know, it keeps your muscles hydrated. And I also take glutamine. I use protein sometimes, but not all the time, because I do find it easy enough to get my protein from food. Magnesium, what else? All the vitamins. But yeah, I think glutamine, BCAAs are really good for recovery.
Yeah, I'm not taking glutamine currently, but I did want to start taking it again because it's also good for gut health, isn't it?
Really good for gut health and also immunity too. So yes. It's a great one to take during the winter months to make sure you don't get sick.
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to your build, I know that you went straight from the competing to the reverse and then the build. How long did you do the build for before you did a mini cut? Because I know recently you did a mini cut. So I'd love for you to talk about why you did a mini cut, how long that was, and what the protocol was for that before going back to the build.
Yeah, for sure. So I think I was building for around 8 months before I did my mini cut. So probably, 2 months of that was reverse dieting, getting my calories back up, and then a solid 6 months of building. And this was like consistently building. Like I was hitting my calories every day. I wasn't kind of yo-yoing. Definitely had moments of doubt as the body fat was increasing. But yeah, we did a mini cut just to reduce body fat a little bit, as recommended by Ellie. And I ended up doing a few photo shoots in that just to celebrate, but it wasn't for the photo shoots or anything. It was just kind of for overall health, just to keep the body fat down so it's not too high next time I prep for a comp. And also just for the mental side of it as well. Like it was nice to have a little bit of a break from the higher calories. As much as I love food, it helped me kind of stay motivated, I guess, when I got back into building.
Yeah, so obviously you said you're over 3,000 calories. Do you find that easy to hit, or is it like, are you done with eating? Are you kind of tired of eating that many calories, or are you still enjoying it now?
I actually do find it easy to hit. Yeah. I love eating. I definitely feel full at night, but I think it's just being smart about your food choices. Like you can't eat 3,000 calories of diet foods, like volume foods. I still focus, 80% whole foods, but it's, incorporating more fats, eating lower volume carb sources and things like that. So you might switch from pumpkin in a shred to normal white potatoes in a build. So just making food swaps that make it a bit easier to hit your calories. I think the hardest part for me isn't hitting the calories, it's hitting the right macros within those calories and not going over my protein.
Yeah, I mean, we could easily hit 3,000 calories. Yes. With fun foods. But yeah, also staying under in protein, I do find as you go into a build and all the other foods come up, like oats and things like that, it can be really easy to hit your protein without even needing that much meat. And if you're anyone like me, I like eating protein. Like I truly love it with my meals. Yeah. So I do find it really hard to keep that under. When you said that you are swapping, like being smart about your food choices and swapping the high volume foods for lower volume foods, it's the polar opposite for a shred. So it's like people swapping from rice to pumpkin and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people will probably not hit the 3,000 calorie mark. I don't hit the 3,000 calorie mark in a build. So that side of things, obviously this is based on Sarah's personal, I just feel like it needs a disclaimer, personal stats. For a lot of people, yeah, if they were to eat 3,000 calories every day, they would find themselves gaining very quickly.
Yeah, and I think just on that as well, like obviously I built up to it, yes, slowly and like consistently, and as I gain more muscle I can eat more calories, which is great.
Yeah, and also you gained muscle but you also gained fat, and yeah, you mentioned that was challenging mentally, so I'd love for you to talk about what it was like to see the scales going up, how much your, because I know you talk openly about your weight on, yep, Instagram, how much your weight went up over the 6 months or the 8 months that you were building before you did the mini cut, how much you lost in the mini cut and what happened after that too.
Yeah, so I have to remember the numbers. Yeah, correctly, yeah, but I'll try.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, so for my last show, I think I was about 61 kilos. So for each show, I was a little bit heavier each show because I'd gained muscle, which is great.
That's the goal.
So yeah, around 61 kilos for my last show in October, and that was on show day. And then I gained a bit back, like straight away. Like you always gain a bit back post comp because you're obviously increasing carbs, you're increasing hydration, just being on a big flight and things like that. And then I think as I was reverse dieting and started building, I was gaining like 500 grams a week most weeks,
yeah, wow,
before my weight kind of stabilized. And then we'd increase calories, I'd start gaining a bit again. And then once it stabilized, we'd increase calories again. So we kind of kept doing that until my calories were nice and high. And overall, I gained, I think like 15 kilos. Yeah. I just under that. I would have been close to 75 kilos just before.
Given that, like, say 3 kilos was just natural increase, I would say. So say like 12 kilos is a lot for someone to go through mentally and physically, especially when you start your journey with the goal of like, losing weight and getting healthier. So going up 12 kilos or 15 on the scales, technically, how did you feel? Like, how did you adjust to that? Did you have to change your clothing wardrobe? I know a lot of people ask about how clothes fit.
Yeah, definitely had to change all of my clothes. I basically just live in stretchy clothes now because there's no point in having all these different wardrobes.
Yeah.
And then I've got a pair of jeans and a pair of shorts that are for bulking and a pair that's for shredding. So I think that's an important thing, is to just wear clothes that you're comfortable with. I think there's been days where I like feel a bit fluffy or uncomfortable when I'm bulking. I'm like, oh, I put on so much body fat. And that's normally because I'm wearing clothes that are too small for me, or it's because I've been like inconsistent and gone and eating foods that don't agree with me and make me bloated or inflamed. So I think it helps to just eat foods that actually make you feel good. Just because you're on high calories doesn't mean you have to eat crap.
Yes.
So yeah, eating things I agree with, wearing clothes that fit properly, because you are going to change sizes and that's fine. Like I'll go from an 8 or maybe even a 6 when I'm prepping to now like a 10.
Yeah.
You know, so you are going to change sizes and that's completely okay.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people say to me like, oh, do you fit the same clothes? I, to be honest, a lot of the time do fit the same clothes because I just live in stretchy clothes. Yeah. Like I just live in active wear, so it fits me and I feel good. And I think from a mental point of view, you are far better off in a build wearing those clothes that you mm-hmm. feel good in, that fit you nicely. Because if you're wearing really tight clothes during your build, it's not going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Like it would be common sense, you would think, but of course everyone handles things differently. Mm. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
So sure. Once you went through the build and then, you know, you needed to do a mini cut for 8 weeks, what was the plan of attack? I know you were doing like quite a few steps and a bit of cardio. It's quite intense.
Yeah. So we wanted to get down to around 70 kilos and I think we got down to 69.9. So it was like, 4 to 5 kilo loss, which was about right for 8 weeks.
Perfect.
And it was a bit more intense than I was expecting. I was doing cardio, like Stairmaster, 30 minutes, 3 times a week, I think, 14,000 steps a day plus weight training 5 days a week. So that was like a big shock to my system. I was not cardio fit at all. We did ease into it a little bit, but like I had done no cardio since prep. So that was really tough, like mentally, I think, just doing a mini cut without the goal of a show, because normally when you're doing a show, you're like, oh, I've got to step on stage in a bikini. It's a lot easier to stay consistent, but mentally I just found it a little bit harder to actually stick to it, which I did because I just planned everything. I was quite methodical about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a little bit harder without that goal of competing.
Yeah, that's a lot of cardio. Like, I mean, that's more than I would do in a prep, a lot more steps and things too. So it's a big change, but I get the goal was to do it hard and fast, get into the deficit, get out the deficit. You did it, you stuck to it, you achieved the goal, and then now you're back into the build. So how long has that been since you finished the mini cup?
Oh, it would have been a few months now, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so and the plan is to potentially compete next year.
The plan is to compete next year. We're not sure which show yet, so not sure exactly which date, but we'll continue building at least till the end of this year. We'll see, kind of reassess in January where I'm sitting. If my body fat is still okay, then we'll just keep on building until I need to prep. So
that's well over a year essentially pretty much of being out of a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important for people to realize, like, it is not changing your body and taking it to the next level, especially if you want to compete in a pro lineup, is not something that you can just magically do overnight. And I think so many people say, you know, I want to lose fat and then I want to build muscle, but then the second they see the scales go up, they want to cut again. Mm. And I'm so guilty of this. Like, I've done it many times in the past before, until this time I was like, you know what, 10 months of building and now I've decided to tighten up. So in terms of your time frame, you know, doing it for over a year, I think that is amazing. It's so good of you to be consistent and to trust the process.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of talk about how you feel about the scales now, because I did see you post on Instagram and I'll be able to put the photo up,
yep,
that you are now the same weight that you were when you started with me like years ago. I think it was like 2019 or something we started together. So you were 72 kilos, but you look totally different.
Mm.
So how has your mindset shifted around the scales and the weight on there? Do you like, yeah, I'd love for you to elaborate on how you feel about
it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I used to definitely have an emotional attachment to the scales. Like, it would kind of change my mindset whether they were going down or up each week, because obviously, you know, when I first started, I wanted them to go down each week, but then it kind of shifted to just seeing the scales as data. So I still weigh in every week to check in just for the data for my coach, but I don't have any kind of emotional attachment to it. Like if my weight goes up by heaps, I'm like, oh, well, it's probably just hormones, or it's, you know, a bit of inflammation from training, or there's so many things that can make your weight fluctuate. It's, you know, about focusing on other things as well. Like your clothes fitting and your measurements, like in a build, if my measurements are going up in the right places, like my weight might have gone up, but my glutes have gone up in measurement too. So I'm like,
huge,
excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a good thing for your measurements to go up in a build, you know, like exactly. Your glutes are going up, it's like it's working.
Yeah, and I think when you compare photos as well, like it still blows my own mind, like comparing photos the same way when I started to now, like it's just a completely different body shape. And it's just understanding that obviously like muscle weighs a lot more than fat. So your body weight really doesn't matter. It's, all those other markers.
Yeah, I think progress photos, as intimidating as they can be to take them the first time, like a lot of people feel quite nervous, I guess, to take them. But if you're working with a coach, like I'm the only one that sees them anyway. Like you sent those photos to me, but then I'm so glad that you did take those photos because you could then compare, you know, 4 years on or 5 years on, and you'll forever have those photos, even if someone didn't want to take them to start. I think it's so important because often the scales just aren't going to shift. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to someone starting their fitness journey, because obviously we've both been on our journeys for a while now, what tips do you have for someone that is looking to get started on their fitness journey in terms of, you know, not looking at the scales too much and just building those habits? If you've got any like advice you'd love to have given yourself early on.
I mean, I think like I did it right, getting a coach, you know, starting with you, having someone who can assess your photos and your measurements and your weight and everything like non-judgmentally and just provide you the right steps to take, like the next steps. I think that is so helpful that you can kind of view it in a more methodical way. I think that's kind of how my brain works anyways. It's quite methodical. But just kind of knowing like what the next steps are, like what can actually impact weight fluctuations, just really educating yourself about it. And also just knowing how you can kind of change and, I guess, manipulate your body and your mindset as well. Like building after doing, you know, the amount of cuts that I've done for shows and mini cuts and things, it's almost easier because I know that I know how I can lose the body fat. You know, I'm educated about it and I've done it enough times that it gets easier. So I think with time and consistency, like everything just gets so much easier and the habits just become second nature really when you do them consistently.
Yeah, and I think if you initially lose some weight like you did, I think from memory you lost 8 kilos in the 90 days that we worked together. You showed yourself that you know how to lose the weight, so then you trusted me to reverse diet you, get your calories up, and then obviously you've gone on to shred and go pro and all of that. But a lot of people have never lost the weight that they wanted to lose. If anything, year on year, their weight goes up. Mm-hmm. So when they come to doing a build, they're not sure if they can lose the weight. And that's why I think getting a coach is important, because it takes the guesswork out of it. It takes the emotions out of it. But something I've noticed people doing, whether it's with me or whether I see it happening online, is they might start working with, you know, me for, say, 2 weeks. And, yeah, their scale weight went down after a week, initial drop. But then the weight goes back up the next week for whatever reason. It's just a fluctuation. And then they want to quit after 2 weeks. So it's common that people just don't trust the process or trust a coach to follow through with it. But I just wish that people knew that it does work. Like if you do the work consistently, it will work. But it never works if you quit a plan every 2 weeks or you're jumping from coach to coach. And I see that happening. Like you stayed with me for maybe 2 years. Mm. I think two years, and then you've been with Ali for the remaining like three, maybe, you know? So I do think it's important that once you find a coach, they get to know you, they work with you one-on-one, and you do what they say, because if you do what they say, you get results.
Yeah, that is so true. There's no point in paying for a coach and not listening to them or not telling them the truth. Like, you know, having sneaky treats here and there, or like not telling them if you're super stressed with work, like all those things matter. So you just need to tell your coach everything and trust them to come up with the plan for you.
Yeah, I love that. Accountability to your coach. Like you go to a coach to get their help, but if you're only telling them half the story, they can't help you. And trust me, we know.
Like, yeah, that is so
we
true.
Already know. We just need you to be honest with us. And I think that open communication is key.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I've obviously launched VIP one-to-one coaching, which is what you did with me. And that's a game changer. Like, it's all well and good for someone to have the plan. And obviously, I wanted to have a cost-effective plan for someone that could do training and meal plans. without the one-on-one mm-hmm. support, but I know that a lot of people need that one-on-one support of the check-ins, the group coaching calls. So that's why I wanted VIP to still be available, where I can work one-on-one and we can go through a shred, reverse, and build phase. And so if you're having a freak out because your scales went up, you can send me an email and yep. check in. So I do think like one-to-one coaching is definitely priceless. If you're someone that's super accountable to yourself, you know how to follow a plan and you're happy to do that, then of course getting meal and training plans is fine. I feel like you're the kind of person that could be given a plan and you could go off and do your own thing.
I could anyway. Now because I've done that one-on-one coaching with you, and you know that's what helped me build all of those habits and actually understand how it all works. I think at the start I couldn't have done it, but yeah, maybe now. It was definitely beneficial having that one-on-one coaching at the start of my journey.
Awesome. Yay. Okay. And then something else I wanted to talk about, a little bit of a transition away from prep because you're in your build now. You have been all over the show. Like you said, you're a busy bee. I know you're going to cover moving on your, you know, podcast and things, but you did move back from Australia.
Yeah.
And you are traveling every single week. And I can imagine that hitting 3,000 calories with all this travel is quite challenging. So what tips do you have for people that do travel a lot?
So for context, like at the moment we're renovating an old wool shed into a house. So we're there on the weekends doing the renovations. And then we're traveling back to our office and warehouse. We're actually staying in a van on weekdays with a little kitchen. There's a lot of travel and it's not my usual routine. Like I actually got meals in Sydney, or I would meal prep every single Sunday. Like I was so consistent with doing that. So changing my routine definitely made it a lot harder. But I think the main thing for me was deciding on what my priorities were. Like, okay, I'm going to really prioritize my food around training because I'm in a build. So I make sure I always have the same pre and post workout meal or macros to make sure it's really consistent. And that's like an absolute non-negotiable for me. Hydration is a non-negotiable. And then it's preparing as much as I can when I can. So at the moment, that's like on a Monday night when I get to Tauranga, I will, you know, go grocery shopping, do all of my meals so they're sorted for the week. And then on the weekends, it's a little bit more flexible, but just prioritizing protein, making sure I'm hitting my carbs, having a few easy options available. So I don't always have protein powder, but I have it available if I haven't cooked anything. Or I might buy like some pre-cooked chicken and some microwave rice and just some frozen veggies. Like so easy to throw together, weigh out and hit your macros. Like just not letting external things create an excuse for me not to stay on track.
Yeah, I love that. And what you said about like microwave rice, some frozen veg mm-hmm. and then protein. It actually is so easy to get foods these days in the supermarket that you can throw together in minutes. Like if you're someone that's really busy, maybe you've got to meal prep, instead of pulling in to get takeaways or Uber eating, you could easily pop into the supermarket, get some deli chicken, grab a salad mix and get microwavable rice, throw it all together in under 5 minutes. Yeah. So simple. And I think often for a lot of people, their biggest struggle is nutrition. Whether it's to hit enough protein is a very common thing. I know we don't struggle with love protein, but nutrition is the biggest struggle for so many people. So what tip would you have for someone other than getting a coach and working with me? What is the number one thing you think helps people with nutrition or helped you with nutrition when starting out?
I think like that education part of it helped me, like actually just really understanding the different macros and like what they do for me and tracking my foods and understanding, you know, the calories of each food. Is like you don't have to be obsessive with it forever. You don't have to track forever, but just understanding that at the start and understanding which foods make me feel good and which don't, because, you know, people have different intolerances and, you know, which foods are going to make me, you know, fuel me for my workout and things like that, what the easy options are, just really like educating myself and understanding about all the different foods and how to read food labels and things like that. I think that was the biggest thing, because there's so much I didn't know about food and there's so much misinformation online as well.
Yes, I love that. And then I think for a lot of people, they really struggle with finding a balance of nutrition. Yeah. So if you educate and you understand like, hey, you know what? Sundays I'm going to have the apple. Other days I might have the little chocolate bar. Yeah. And not having those extreme rules of like, you can't eat bread, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. Mm. And I think education is power. Like knowledge is power. And once you understand the macronutrients of foods, like you said, it's not that you have to track forever. If you have a fat loss goal, it's great to be able to track because it's more accurate. We'll get results faster. Who doesn't want results? So yeah, you can achieve that goal, reverse diet. And then once you're at maintenance, I truly think once you have an understanding of food, maintenance is pretty easy. Like I've been able to maintain this year. Once I, you know, increased my calories up to about 2,800, obviously I gained weight doing that, but I maintained at like 66 to 67 kilos for months on end. Yeah. And just enjoying it. So of course we're going to gain weight when we increase our calories and we put more food into our bodies. But once you reach that kind of plateau level, you can maintain, you have way more flexibility. Like, I really enjoy family meals. I really enjoy having friends over and not having to track so meticulously for everything. And that has been the biggest mental shift for me, because on prep we wouldn't really have friends over, or if we did, I'd eat my meal prep and make them a separate meal. So I've definitely enjoyed more freedom. And in your build, do you find that you have more flexibility?
Definitely. Like I said before, I'm like pretty meticulous with my pre and post workout meals because I really want to optimize that training and recovery. But other than that, like, I've definitely been enjoying family meals, or like making pancakes for the family on a Sunday, and, you know, not necessarily tracking all the toppings perfectly because I do have a good understanding of what's in the food, or just like enjoying food that other people have cooked for me and not really worrying too much what's in it. Like, it's just so nice to kind of relax a bit mentally, and as long as I'm roughly hitting my calories in that on weekends, I'm a lot more relaxed, which is so nice.
So nice, especially after doing 3 shows last year. Like, I've only ever done 2 in a year, and I found that hard enough, and you did 3 pretty much close to back to back, which I can't even imagine the mental, I guess, discipline to go through that, like months and months and months and months of prep. So like, that is a huge achievement in itself, and so is getting through the stage of the build and handling increasing, you know, weight and clothing sizes and all of that. So thank you.
Yeah, and I think like that's why I'm sharing that phase of my journey as well, because you see before and after photos of builds that people post online, but it's like before the build when they're really small and lean, and then it's after the build but they've done a mini cut first. So I posted a photo which was before my build, during my build, and then after my mini cut, and like, there's a massive difference. Like, I've obviously got a lot more body fat before my mini cut, and then if you just look at my before photo before the build and after the mini cut, like, you can see I've gained heaps of muscle, but you don't know that I've gained all that body fat in between. So I'm trying to share like that part of the journey to show that it is actually what happens, because I used to think I was the only one, because you didn't see people online like posting those photos from check-ins.
And I think that you are one of the best people literally on Instagram that is actually documenting the full journey. Like, I started Instagram to share my journey, but then as the following grew, I got like a bit more nervous to share that because I cared what people would think. I'm only now just coming back to, like, I shared on my stories my build, end of 10-month build to mini cut 4 weeks in.
Yep.
But I was so nervous to share that, even just on my stories, because you've got more eyes on you. But I feel like your following's obviously growing, but it's growing because people are enjoying that. And I know that a lot of the squad and people that are listening to this will, like, they already follow you. But if you're not, I'll make sure I put it on Instagram in the description to go check it out and scroll through the old posts to see, because I do think you've actually documented it really well. And like, I commend you on that, because it is scary a little bit to know that people are seeing you at essentially a vulnerable place. Like, really the peak of a build when you've gained, you know, 12 to 15 kilos is so scary. And a lot of people struggle to wear a bikini in general, yet alone being at the peak of a build and posting bikini photos online, like, for many people to see. So well done on that. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and coming on the podcast. And we will catch you in the next one.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.